Again, welcome to everyone. We thank you for being here today, and I want to share a message. I did really enjoy Eddie's message last week. I think I got in on the second half after being at Grace Family, but it kind of stirred some thoughts in my mind. I'd like to read two scriptures. They're going to be on the screen kind of quickly. The first is Isaiah 30, 20, 21, and the second one is in John 14 and 6. And then we're going to park this morning on Romans 13. And I want to talk about, I jokingly said the walking man, but I really want to talk about what it means to walk with Jesus. As simple as that sounds, I want to talk about that for a little bit. Because probably the majority of folks in this building, and maybe watching online as well, have chosen to walk with Jesus. But there may be some who are deciding whether or not you want to walk with Jesus. And I want to talk about what that means and remind all of us of the commitment that we made when we decided to walk with Jesus. And it's exciting to hear testimonies of people who've tried to run away from God. And I think Eddie shared a little of his testimony last week, if I'm not mistaken, about trying to run away from the call of God, not God, but the call of God. And then when you finally encounter the Lord and you decide to walk toward Him instead of away from Him. And what does it mean to walk with Jesus? hundreds of years before Jesus was on earth, there was a prophet named Isaiah. And the book of Isaiah, in addition to the book of Psalms, probably has the most detailed prophetic descriptions of what Jesus and His life and His ministry would be as the Savior. As a matter of fact, Isaiah is generally the book that folks will go to when they want evidence that Jesus really fulfilled prophecy. And they'll go to Isaiah. And so Isaiah was familiar with words of prophecy concerning the Messiah. He wrote in chapter 30 of Isaiah, he wrote about the day that would come that Israel would hear hear from a teacher. Israel would hear from the Lord. And he gives this prophetical word in the sense that, and we'll read it a moment. He says, Israel, you're like a person walking. You're like a person that's walking, and you hear a voice behind you. And that voice is important, and you need to hear that voice because it's the voice of a teacher. And the teacher says this in verse 21, chapter 30, verse 21. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. This is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left, walk in this way. What is that way? Prophetically, I believe, we can find that way in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 6. The words of Jesus, when he said these words that we are very familiar with. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way. Isaiah said, you're going to hear a voice behind you. And that voice will say, this is the way. Walk in it. Whether you turn left or turn right, walk in it. And you'll be okay. And the question, what is that way? I believe Jesus answered the question when he said, I am the way. How many believe today Jesus is the way? He's the way. He's also the truth. He's also the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And so, this is the way. Walk in it. When we make a decision to follow Jesus, we can call it a number of different things. But basically we're saying, I'm going to live differently than I've lived before. I'm going to live different. I'm going to live according to what God wants. I'm going to live according to what the Bible teaches. And I'm not going to be perfect at it, but I'm going to do my best. Eugene Peterson, who's now gone to be with the Lord, who passed away a couple of years ago, he was the author of The Message Bible. A book just came out where they have compiled different little things that he said. I'm reading it right now. And it's interesting. There's a little chapter. It's like a page and a half. And it's called something about the saints. And Eugene Peterson explains that in the early church, they begin to call Christians saints. Not because they were perfect, but because of the way they chose to walk. The way they chose to walk. So in the New Testament epistles, you will find things like to the saints of Philippi, to the saints at Colossians, to the saints. And if we're not careful, we'll think, oh, saints, that's perfect people. Because, you know, certain organizations say that's what a saint is someone that they offer sainthood to them. But in the biblical definition of the word, it doesn't mean that. It means people who have chosen to walk a certain way. As a matter of fact, in the book of Acts, as they begin to preach Jesus, as they begin to go around to different cities, they became known, Christians became known as people of the way. People of the way. And people would say, what way is that? Well, the way is Jesus. Jesus is the way. He said it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So people of the way. Back in the early or late 60s, early 70s, we had the hippie movement. Some of you remember those days, right? Some of you were hippies. Randy was a hippie, okay? Some of you won't raise your hands, but you were. And then following the hippie movement, we had a revival, an incredible revival that started with the hippie movement. They began to get saved and give their hearts to God, especially on the West Coast, where they began to flood churches. These men and women, these teenagers, these young adults with long hair and sandals and just dressed real casually, and they began to flood the churches that, you know, for the most part, people were dressed suits and ties and that kind of thing. And a lot of churches didn't know what to do with them. What do we do? They're coming in, and these young people were getting saved on the beach. They were getting baptized in the ocean waters, and they were said, now you need to find a church. You need to find a church. So they would find a church, and that church, some churches would go, well, we don't want you here. That's a shame. We don't want you here. You're different than we are. And they'd look for another church. But one of the churches that accepted them just happened to be, there were many, but one of them was one of our Grace International churches way back in the day. Just a small little church. And they began to flood into that church. And they didn't sit in the pews because they felt they weren't worthy to sit in the pews. They came down and sit on the floor. So they began to sit on the floor, and here they were, and some of the church people came to the pastor there, and I knew him personally, and they would say, you got to get rid of these kids. He said, why? They're getting saved, and they love Jesus, and they want to be in church, and they're excited. Well, they're different than we are. You see, it's kind of like they thought they were saints, but the real saints were those kids sitting on the floor. Because they had chosen to walk the Jesus way, amen? Now, a lot of those people began to say, I understand, Pastor, and they accepted it in, they loved them, and they helped them, and they helped train them. And an incredible revival took place. Matter of fact, that particular church was sponsored in a Time magazine article. They had chosen to walk the Jesus way. And Eugene Peterson, again, says, saints are not those that are perfect. They are those who have chosen to walk with Jesus. A different walk. They've heard the voice that Isaiah said, this is the way, walk in it. To the left or to the right, walk in it. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Have you chosen the Jesus way this morning? Have you chosen the Jesus way? And what does that mean? The Jesus way is the way of the cross. It's the way of someone changing their life, or the Lord changing their life. I chose the Jesus way. It wasn't called that back in when I gave my heart to Christ. We just called it getting saved or giving your heart to Jesus. It would later be called the Jesus way. And I remember the day that I chose that way. I was just a young lad and I knelt at an altar similar to this one on this side of the church. I was pretty much by myself. I felt the need. I felt a load of sin. I felt like I had failed God. I had reached the age of accountability. I was all of, 7 or 8 years old, I think. And yet I felt the weight of sin. You never know when your son or daughter will reach that age, because it's different. It really is. It's different. But when they reach that age, and your son or daughter comes to you and says, Mom or Dad, I want to give my heart to Jesus, don't think it's just a childish act. You take that opportunity and rejoice with them and lead them in a prayer for Jesus. And then you say, well, Pastor, then they go out and they're the worst brat I've ever seen. That's okay. They're like Mom and Dad. No, don't slough that off. Lead them to Jesus. Now, they may do that a dozen times, but that's okay. I remember some that used to be in our children's church years ago. I remember some of them saying, every Sunday I gave my heart to Jesus, because it was like you got a candy bar if you did or something like that. That's okay, because at some point, it stuck, you see. So I gave my heart to Jesus. I chose the Jesus way. And what that did for me, it told me I needed to walk differently than maybe everyone else was walking, but I had to do it differently. Now, as I grew up, that way became more defined. I learned that way from my grandmother, who taught me as a young child, now that you've given your heart to Jesus, you need to love everybody, Eddie. You need to love them. And then she taught me how to forgive people. She taught me how to be kind. She taught me how to be patient with people. And these are hard lessons for a little boy. How many know that, right? And she taught me how to treat people with respect. But that took a while. She was training me. I learned most of that from my grandmother. I learned it from a Sunday school teacher, where she would teach me and others in that class about the love of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit to help you in temptation. So as I got older, I began to put it more into practice. And then I became a teenager, and the challenges were really there as a teenager. How do you walk in this way as a teenager? Because the peer pressure really gets intense. And there were times that, you know, as most teenagers, the temptations were strong, and the temptation to yield and to be like the other kids and, you know, to do this. And you adults know what I'm talking about. Some of you teenagers here know what I'm talking about. You know, what do I do? I mean, here's this choice and here's this choice. Which choice do I make? Well, when you choose the Jesus way, you do your best to make the choice to do what would Jesus do. What would Jesus do? Now, you're not always successful. Sometimes as you're trying to walk the Jesus way, you make a bad choice. How many people here have ever made a bad choice? Come on, be honest. Keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. Kids that are in here, see that? See all those adults that have made bad choices? And those that haven't raised their hands, they want to. They raise their hand in their heart. All of us have made some bad choices. But that doesn't mean you're out of the Jesus way. It simply means you need to come back to Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm sorry for making a bad choice. Forgive me. And how many believe today Jesus will forgive you? Amen? Amen. He will. So the Jesus way isn't a perfect way. It's not a way where you walk perfectly. It's a way that you've chosen to walk that's different than others. I love the intro to those of you who have watched The Chosen. How many know what The Chosen is, right? A few of you? If you haven't watched The Chosen, it's incredible. It's online. You have to get an app to do it, but it's incredible rendition of the life of Jesus, and it is different, believe me. And one of the lines in The Chosen is, get used to different, because that's the Jesus way. And I love the intro to that, because the intro to that shows all of these fish, and I just imagine they're salmon, and they're all going in the same direction. They're all going in the same direction. And all of a sudden, you find one of those fish turn around, and I think it changes colors, and he starts swimming against the grain. That's what the Jesus way is. The Jesus way is when you decide you're not going to go the way everybody else is going, and you do a turnaround. As a matter of fact, that's what repentance literally means, is turning around 180 degrees, turn around and flowing upstream. And it's not easy, and you're a different color, and people may make fun of you, but eventually the Jesus way is the best way. And Jesus said, of that Jesus way, it gets narrower and narrower. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way to eternal life. And so when we choose the Jesus way, we're going against the grain. You see, it's real easy to go with the crowd. It's real easy. You just go along. But when you make a decision to follow Jesus, you understand that it may not be easy, but it's the best way. It's the right way, right? So when other people are lying, you're telling the truth. When other people are cheating on their taxes, you are being honest in filling out those forms. The Jesus way means when other people are getting revenge, you are forgiving. The Jesus way means when other people are selfish, you are being generous. It's a different way. It's a different lifestyle, but it's worth it. This is the way, the voice says, walk in it. But he didn't say it would be easy. It is hard sometimes. I am the way, Jesus said, and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's the only way we get to heaven, is through Jesus Christ. We know that. And the way is not easy. And Jesus told you that, told us that. He said in his teachings that you have to count the cost before you make the decision to follow the Jesus way. Count the cost, and it will cost you something. It will cost you something. But the price is worth it when we realize where our eternal destiny is. When you choose the Jesus way, you are saying that someday I'm going to be with Jesus. Amen? I'm going to be with Jesus. Now, is it worth it, the Jesus way? Wait, that's up to each one who's chosen the way. There were some in the Bible who chose the Jesus way and they didn't think it was worth it and they turned around. As a matter of fact, Paul made mention of a person and said, they have forsaken me rather to live in a worldly way. But many of those early Christians who they were called saints, again, they weren't perfect. It was just they had chosen to walk a different way than the world. Many of them thought it was worth it to the point that they gave their life for Jesus. They literally gave their life. See, the Roman Empire, when Christianity really was birthed in the upper room, they tolerated it, because the Roman Empire would tolerate other religious beliefs as long as it didn't conflict with the Roman Empire. As long as you stayed quiet, as long as you just yielded, you paid your taxes to the Roman government, you didn't do anything bad, they tolerated them. But whenever a religious group began to not go along with the Roman government and everything they said, then they began to be persecuted. And for a while, the Christians were accepted, for a little while. But then when the Roman government said, we want all of our citizens to worship Caesar as Lord, many religious groups did that. But the Christians who had chosen the way said, it's a bridge too far. We can't do that. There is one Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. So we will not worship Caesar as Lord. He may be the king, we'll honor him for that position, but we will not worship him as Lord. It was called Caesar worship. They refused to do it, and because of it, intense persecution began to happen, and they began to literally murder Christians right and left because they would not worship Caesar as Lord. Was it worth it? Was it worth it? They had to ask that question as they faced the extreme measures of the Roman government. Let me ask us today, you that have chosen the Jesus way, is it worth it? Your co-workers may be making fun of you. Kids at school may laugh at you when they find out you've chosen the Jesus way. Your neighbors may kind of scoff at you, thinking every Sunday morning you're in church. They're not. Your family might criticize you for choosing the Jesus way. And so the question is it worth it? That song right there, I can tell you this right now. There's a number of reasons that make me say it is worth it. But that song and the message of that song, I hold you in the palm of my hands, that's from Isaiah. That is enough to say it's worth it for me. To know that I'm in the hands of Jesus. That I'm in the hands of the Lord. That would be enough. Not because Randy sang it or wrote it. The Holy Spirit really wrote it, right, Randy? He just shared it with you. But it's just the fact that I know that Jesus has me in the palm of his hands is enough to say that it's worth it. That it's worth it. I remember in high school, in my freshman year of high school, it's in Tillamook, this before I met Cheryl, I was invited to a birthday party. This girl invited me to a birthday party. And I thought, that'll be fun. And everyone knew I was a Christian. I didn't hide it. I was a Christian. And I thought, that'll be fun. Cake, candles, pin the tail on the donkey. I was naive, probably. But when I got there, I didn't see any cake. There was a lot of kids there. They were drinking something. I didn't. And then they invited me into another room where it was really dark. And I thought, what's going on? You're thinking right now, Pastor, you were so naive. Well, call it what you want. I'm still looking for the cake. Come on. And so when they opened that door and I noticed what was happening, I had a choice to make. Am I going to walk the Jesus way, or I'm going to bend to the pressure? And I'm not saying you have to make this decision, but at that moment was critical for me. And I made the decision to turn around and walk out that front door. I'm still mad because I didn't get any cake, but be that as it may. I chose to leave. And I was made fun of. I noticed the next day in school, a couple kids that were there looked my way and were laughing at me. And that hurt. But I'm glad I made that choice. Now maybe you're here today and you had the similar situation and you made the wrong choice. That doesn't make me any better than you. It doesn't. Because you've probably made the right choice in areas where maybe I made the wrong choice. But the good thing to know, and I want all the kids in the building to know this that are listening to Pastor right now, if you do a wrong thing and you make a wrong choice, it's not the end of the world. You just need to admit it, confess it to Jesus, and ask him to forgive you, and he will forgive you and give you another chance. Amen? How many believe that today? Amen. 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 So the Jesus way is not always the easy way. Romans 13, starting at verse 8, Paul puts it another way, and let me read it. We're just about finished. Romans 13, verse 8. We'll read to verse 14. Jesus is talking in this chapter about walking the Jesus way and what that means. Verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love one another. And that probably doesn't mean never go in debt, because obviously if you're going to buy a house for $300,000, $350,000, you're going to have to finance that house. Okay, we understand that. I mean, if you don't have to, that's wonderful, but it's really not talking about debt for responsible things. It probably is talking about the habit of always being in debt for anything and everything. Okay, so it says, owe no one anything except to love one another. That love debt is never paid, never paid off, because we should always love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, and these are some of the Ten Commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. So in other words, in order to keep the Ten Commandments, it has to start on the basis of love. If I love you, then I'm not going to commit adultery with you. I'm not going to steal from you. I'm not going to lie from you. I'm not going to, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It starts with love. Verse 11, and do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, this is the Jesus way, okay? This is the Jesus way. Let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. That's really what it comes down to. There is a way to walk. It's called the way of darkness. It's the way of the world. It's those choices that harm us and harm others. And then there is a way of light, where we put on the armor of light, where we walk in the light of God. And with His strength and His help, we live according to what Jesus has taught us and the way He taught us to live. So light and darkness, that's the choice. And the Jesus way is the way of light. Verse 13, let us walk properly. Okay, there's the walk. There's the walking man. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. Okay, that's the walk of darkness. That's the walk of all the fish going one direction, let's say. But, verse 14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. In other words, walk the Jesus way. Doesn't mean we won't be tempted. Doesn't mean there won't be times when we fail. It simply means we have chosen to swim upstream when everybody else is going down. It simply means we've chosen to walk a different way than others. And it's not easy, believe me. For the first 5 years of Cheryl and I's marriage, for the first 5 years, I worked, in addition to being in the ministry, I worked at least at one time, there were 5 jobs I was doing to make ends meet. The church couldn't, they gave us a little parsonage to live in, but other than that, we had no means of support. So I worked, Cheryl worked, and at certain times I had 5 different jobs that I was doing to make a living. So I know a little bit about working a job other than being a pastor. Now, when we moved to Battleground, thank God, since we've come to Battleground, I've been full-time ministry. And I am grateful to God and grateful to you, the congregation, and all those that have gone before that have paid their tithe and given offerings so that I can be full-time in ministry. Okay. I picked up a little boy hitchhiking one day, and he asked me what I did, and I said, I'm a pastor. And he says, oh, yeah, my dad told me about you. You work 1 hour a week and get all the money. And I said, and I smiled and said, no, I don't preach an hour long. I preach 30 minutes and take all the money. No, I didn't tell him that. But see, his dad's concept of pastoring was that. But believe me, pastors do work. Okay? But for 5 years, I worked all these jobs. And I know what it is, walking the Jesus way. And one day I was working for a little company called Nelson's Log Bronx. It's all these little log, these little water things that move logs around. Anyway, I worked there, and I cleaned their offices at night. And they knew I was a pastor. and I walked in, and it only happened one time. And I'm not saying it was by design, but I walked into the lunchroom to clean the lunchroom like I'd done every night. I did it late at night. And when I walked in, laying on the table was an open centerfold of the Playboy magazine. Now, they didn't have security cameras in those days. No one would have saw what I did. But again, I had a choice to make. And I was married to Cheryl. Do I look the other way, or will Cheryl kill me? No, I had a choice to make, not because of Cheryl. I mean, that's a big reason, too. But what do I do? No one's looking. But when you walk the Jesus way, you've got to walk it if nobody's watching or not. And so what I did is I went over to the magazine, and I just turned it over, just like that. And I put some papers on it. So the next day, when they came back in, they knew. Now, they might have thought I read it and looked, kept looking, but I didn't. Again, I wanted to, because that's what Romans says. That's the lust of the flesh. But sometimes you have to tell your flesh the right thing to do, right? So kids that are listening to me, if your mom and dad let you on the internet or you have a smartphone and something like that pops up, you give that to mom and dad right then. You show them right now, because that's somebody wanting to harm you and do you no good. You tell mom and dad. You won't get in trouble. Tell mom and dad, and they'll help you be able to avoid that. Amen? How many adults agree with that today? Amen. 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 And so I just tell that story. I want you to know, when I talk about this Jesus way, I know what I'm talking about. I've been there. But I know this, even in the times that I've failed. And I haven't told you those times. But there have been those times. That's when the Jesus way that I've chosen, I go to the cross and I ask Him to forgive me, and He does. Amen? Amen. So let's close this in prayer. Most of you have chosen to walk the Jesus way, and this is not new information to any of you. It's probably preaching to the choir, but maybe there's someone here that's not chosen the Jesus way, and maybe you're thinking about it. I just want you to know, it's not the easiest road to walk, but you can do it, because Jesus will be there to help you. He'll walk with you through it. He'll give you the strength to swim upstream and not down. Father in heaven, thank you for the Jesus way. Thank you for everyone listening to Pastor this morning. It's been a little bit different message, but Lord, it's an important one. I pray for anyone here today, man or woman, boy or girl, young person, that might be thinking about the Jesus way and might be thinking about giving their heart to Jesus. I pray that they would make that decision. I pray that they would decide to swim upstream and everybody else is going downstream. I pray that they would make the decision to accept you and to ask you to come into their life and be their Savior. I pray especially for our young people and our children that are in the service today and they're in kids' church. And I pray for them because it's a rough world we live in right now. And the enemy would like to just drag them all away from church and following Jesus. But I pray for them. I pray they'd be strengthened. And that when they're struggling, they could go to mom or dad or grandma or grandpa or some adult they trust, and they can share with them that struggle and help that adult to help them call on Jesus. And I pray, Lord, right now, that maybe even if someone is watching online, that they'd choose to walk the Jesus way. For all of the rest of us, Lord, that have chosen that way, give us the strength to walk that way truly. Give us the strength to be committed to that way. And if we fail, help us to be quick to repent and to ask your mercy and your forgiveness, and then get up and keep walking that way. Because at the end of the day, I want to hear the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord." But until then, I thank you that every day I am in the palm of your hands, and you love me, and you will help each of us walk the Jesus way. In your name, amen. Amen. Let's thank the Lord for his word today, shall we? Amen. 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 And if you've made a decision to walk the Jesus way, talk to someone, talk to Eddie, Serena, myself, and we'll help you along that way. You're dismissed. God bless you. Thanks for coming to church. Thank you for those watching online. May the Lord bless you. Have a great, great day. We'll see you, if not before, next Sunday.